Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It's Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant and Mr. Money Talk. And yesterday, we were about 15 minutes into our Thursday Royce Unchained section, and the Glenn Taylor press release broke the internet. So, Pat, now that and you put a story up, Star Tribune, StarTribune.com, yeah, too. Now that you've had a day to digest this and consume and talk to people, whatever, your thoughts?
My thoughts is, I think that it's pretty obvious that Glenn, he could have waited another, 30 days or something. They could then get the NBA approval. But I think they realized that they were giving these guys a free $1 billion if they ended up finally letting them make the deal, because if they had the best deal of all time, they could have paid it off last December if they wanted to, or earlier. Why didn't they just pay him, you know? But, I think he's, he doesn't, my theory is they want more value of what the franchise is worth now, and they have the opportunity to do it because, according to him, the paperwork was not properly filed. But here's what I can't understand. Why did they have to go to the Carlyle Group and everybody else to go get their money? Didn't they have the money? I thought Lori was a billionaire.
Did you see the story from our favorite publication, the New York Post? That basically spells it out. And if that's accurate, it was not really reported well, which is that Lori basically made the initial investment and then told his buddy A-Rod, okay, you're on the hook to find the investors. And this became an A-Rod production, which I don't think we ever thought was the case. We thought that Mark was the main guy. According to this story, A-Rod became the main guy while Mark took care of all his behind-the-scenes endeavors that he was trying to work on.
I haven't seen the Post story, but interesting. Rely on the Post. Did their NBA guy do it, or one of their business people?
It was the same pair that did the story about the J-Lo breakup impacting the finances. Okay. It's from Josh Cosman and Ryan Glassbeagle. And I'll just fill in a couple things for you here too, from what Judd said. So Mark Lori told the NBA 2 or 3 years ago that his net worth was $4 billion.
Okay.
And he invested the bigger chunk between the two of them. Right now, Mark Lori owns like 29% of the team, and A-Rod owns, I think it's 7%.
Yeah.
And for the last year and a half or 2 years, the agreement between Lori and A-Rod was, okay, hey, Mark put in his share. Okay. A-Rod, you need to go find, they were supposed to be equal investors by the end of this whole thing. And A-Rod himself doesn't have the net worth or the liquid. So that's why he's been trying to tap into these private investment firms. But they're still saying like, hey, I know that we had one fall through and it's been a race to the finish line, but we still filed. We still have the money.
And this, whatever it is, blue home court, blue court or blue home court or something.
Blue owl?
What is it? Whatever it
it's
is.
Got a court in it now. I saw the name.
They changed their name. Yeah.
And Judd, you looked this up, right? They basically have filled in smaller gaps in the financing, like 6% or something. Yes. And now all of a sudden they're getting 30, you know, they're covering, you're telling me now they're covering A-Rod's share, basically the 22% or whatever it would be, or no more than that, whatever they need to get to 60%. Right?
Yeah. I think the reporting is they needed an extra $500 million for this last round. And Lori is not willing to put in very much, if at all, more than he already did, because he's neck deep in this company, yes, this startup called Wonder, which just completed a $700 million round. And sources tell the New York Post that a lot of his net worth is tied up in that company, and he's working 100 hours a week running that company.
And that's basically what Taylor told me, is that, and he was trying to get a hunk from Taylor the day I happened to be in Naples that morning. Glenn had just walked out of a Zoom room call with Lori. And I think, you know, Glenn didn't say this, but it sounded like he was looking for a big hunk from Glenn, and Glenn passed. I think I'm not sure, but it seemed as though he was going to pass on this. But he also told me Laurie told him that he was working 24/7 on his other deals, and he hadn't been at many Wolves games at all this year. Right?
No.
He was showing up with his shoes off a couple of years ago, and when they were going to win a game. So, hey, good. Congratulations to the Post for, you know, digging it. It makes sense now, doesn't it? That A-Rod's out looking for money.
And yes. A-Rod, Pat, if we had been told at the time when this all started, we had been told that Lori was going to play a key initial role, but you had been directly told, but here's the thing, A-Rod is going to be a primary investor. All of us on this show would have said, that ain't going to work.
And in the meantime, A-Rod has also got divorced someone who might have been able to cover the money for him, and J-Lo, who's got a lot more money than A-Rod ever thought of.
Well, Pat, that's a huge. We were on a text thread, just me, Judd, and Doogie talking about that last night. That, and this is from the New York Post too. They wrote an article about the J-Lo thing a year and a half ago, and then they kind of brought back some of the reporting yesterday. That part of Lori's attraction to A-Rod the first time around 3 years ago was A-Rod's then girlfriend, Jennifer Lopez. It was shortly before A-Rod and J-Lo called off their engagement that A-Rod and Lori launched their bid for the Timberwolves. It was right around that time. So the courting of Mark Lori and, hey, let's do this. Should we do this? All of those initial conversations leading up to the discussion with the Timberwolves, J-Lo was kind of part of the deal, right? Like they were going to get married, and they had been together for a few years, and I don't know if it was going to be part of her net worth tied up in the Timberwolves or how that was going to work. But once she went out of the picture, A-Rod, according to the Post, wasn't well prepared for the breakup from a financial standpoint, according to sources.
That's a very good way of saying that. Yeah. Well, he had to go find somebody to come up with the money. There's this, all this stuff about 90 day tranches and stuff like that. I don't know anything about it, but I think it was supposed to be done sometime in the middle of last year, wasn't it? And then it ended up being December. It had to be done. The whole deal was funny all along, right? The way they were making their payments. But now we know why. Thank God the New York Post still exists, even, but now we know why this is the greatest bargain in sports. Why didn't we just write out the check, Lori, and take it? You know, why didn't they do that? Because he was out, raising money for other things. So I have no idea, but the NBA, you know, Glenn, for all his issues with Joe Smith and that, there's a good story about that, which he's not going to let me write. But anyway.
You can talk about it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
if we were still on 1500 ESPN, you could talk about it. No one would care.
The NBA. Made him the chairman of the board for like 7 years or something. I mean, I got to think, who knows if he did or not. I don't know anything, but I got to think he's had discussions with the NBA. When he bought the team, okay, we'll go back here. We'll go back 1994, right? 1994. Mm-hmm. When he bought the team, he made the deal, the handshake deal. It was such a mom and pop operation that he called the NBA office and said, could you have somebody call me in Minnesota? I'm at the hotel that I have bought the Timberwolves. I bought the majority share of the Timberwolves. And they said,
I promise.
And and the woman answered the phone, said, well, how do we know that? He says, my name's Glenn Taylor. Just call anybody you know in Minnesota and they'll know who I am, that I have the money. But the guy that they put him through to was Adam Silver. And he convinced Adam Silver, yes, I'd buy it. Because remember, they couldn't come up with anybody with the money to pay $88 million. Nobody wanted to pay. I mean, we let the North Stars leave the year before when nobody came up with $38 million in Minnesota. Yeah.
And if he sells it in the next, if let's say he puts them back on the market, it's going to be a $3 billion.
Yes, it is.
Sale
price. But and then Adam Silver got in a plane. The NBA did have a plane back there and flew out 4 hours later. But the deal was done with Glenn shaking hands with Marv Wolfenson that morning. And that was that. And he said the key was I'd let Marv and Harv keep 10% and give them let them have their seats in the front of the. So, you know, A-Rod and Lori, I'm sure they're going to let Glenn was going to keep 20% anyway to help them make the deal. So,
yeah.
So are they? Are they out now, do we think?
No, I think they're going to try to do something. Don't you think they're going to try? But legal, I don't know if legal, the courts, you always have to have league approval, right?
Correct.
Even if you go to court, you still have to have league approval.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Well, a couple things on that, on the will they still be around? Because as Glenn said yesterday, well, I got limited partners there. I'll treat them like my other limited partners. They combine own 36% of the team.
But the
New York Post reporting has said because much of Mark Lurie's net worth is tied up in Wonder and that company is not profitable and they're trying to make it a thing, right? That he might just want, if he's not going to be majority owner, he might just want his 29% back so he can have some more financial flexibility and pump it into Wonder or just have it for his own.
Yeah. But, you know, and obviously these guys want their money to do other things with and make money on their money. You know, they're talking, but if they hold it for 3 years and Glenn sells again, they'll get double their money, right?
They will.
I mean, if you whatever they have invested now, which is I don't know, they were gonna end up with 75% for $1.5 million. So $1.2 billion is gonna be $1.2 billion. You know, well, if they were gonna get 80%, I guess, but. Anyway, they'll get double their money if they sell. What they got into it now, I think they got $400 million in it or $500 million. I tried to do. Excuse me for babbling here, but because it's financial and you know, I took an economic class at Fulda, Minnesota that showed you how to balance your checkbook. That was it. That's my financial background. But
to be important,
the 36%, whatever it's worth now, it'll be worth double. Right. So, but again, maybe Lori wants to do more creative things with that money. I mean, this is the guy that was going to build a city in the sky, right?
Correct. I think he's still trying to do that.
And he might now be, I mean, it literally in going through the stories about him, it sounds like he was like a kid that got a toy. Yeah. And now he's got the toy and he's lost like, interest. I don't really want to play with that toy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, but and it was A-Rod that was at the games, and A-Rod took acting. Over the room to read. You know, he took over half, 2/3 of the press room to turn it into the A-Rod suite, and so he could entertain people. And you know, maybe the people he was entertaining was the people he was trying to get money out of. I don't know. But
here's the other thing that I feel like isn't getting enough attention. There's because everyone's kind of fighting over, and Chris Hine did a great job in the Star Tribune of finding the clause in the contract that explains what the legal battle is going to be for who gains majority control of the team. But that's not, to me, that's not where this conversation really stops, because it's one thing to cobble enough money together and get a group, get a private firm, and okay, I hit my deadline, and here we get controlling ownership of the team. You also need the finances and the flexibility to run the team and run the team in the luxury tax, second apron of luxury tax. Yes. And I had a couple conversations yesterday with people that are way more plugged in than I am. And that is a major concern, that even if and I'm sure this has been a conversation with Glenn and the league that, hey, God, even if these guys do hit all the marks and they cobble enough together to buy the team, well, the majority owner, Mark Lurie, is working 100 hours a week in New York City running Wonder, and they aren't going to have the flexibility to pay for a roster that includes $50 million Gobert, $50 million Karl Anthony Towns. Like, there is real concern from what I've heard about, okay, let's say they get the team. Now what? Can they actually operate the team?
And, you know, everybody, you know, let's face it, Taylor's track record of producing good teams isn't very good, but this is, I mean, whoever found, I know he, Glenn was, might not have found Tim Connolly, but he approved Tim Connolly, okay? Because he still was in control of the team, and he met him, and he likes him. And, he, you know, I think that this idea that somehow if Glenn takes over again, they're going to be cheap and go in the tank. And, you know, he's the owner with this team you have right now. He's the owner. He's still the owner. He owns, you know, 60% or something like that.
So right, but like he had nothing to do with hiring Tim Connolly. And if Tim Connolly decides, if these guys aren't going to own the team anymore, then maybe I'll look for another job somewhere else.
He didn't find him, but he did, I think, perform benediction there. So, you know, he let them hire him. So
didn't you know, at the press conference when Connolly got introduced, Glenn Taylor said he didn't know who he was.
He said beforehand he just knew of him. He didn't know who he was, but he had, you know, he did, you know, he didn't know who he was as a basketball man. No, not when he was out in Denver.
Here's my question, long term, who's going to eventually buy this team? Like that's, if I'm an ardent Wolves fan, that concerns me the most right now, because everyone assures us this team will not move. This team will not move. Come on. You know, if you really think this team is not going to move, and Glenn can, at some point in time, that family can take a check, and that's it. And if Glenn's gone by then, that's what concerns me.
Well, here's the other thing. They're not going to Vegas, and they're not going to Seattle, because the NBA is going to put expansion teams in there. But but people who are worried about the future of the Wolves should be happy that Taylor's taking them for the next few years, because you're not going to have a press conference 2 days after the sale's complete.
Yes.
Would have been complete saying we need a new stadium and we need a new arena, where, you know, you can ride with the Target Center here for a few more years and get your act together to, you know, have somebody else come in. But, you know, there's, it's the fact that this was created, I guess what I'm saying is that there's nothing going to change in the basketball operation, except you're going to be better financed, you know, because Glenn's got some money, you know, there's no doubt about that. But the other thing about it is he's got 81 companies, and this is one of them. Okay. So it's not like the whole $1 billion of empire is there to support the Timberwolves, but I think that, you know, he's having fun going to the games, although he won't have fun next time he's there. I'm sure he'll get booed, but
is A-Rod going to go to a game here? So are they going to be sitting awkwardly across the court from each other?
A-Rod will wave to the crowd and use the PR. But, you know, congratulations to the New York Post. You guys just told me more about this than I've told, you know.
The A-Rod thing to me is the absolute, like, linchpin of the entire story now.
He wants to be an owner so badly. But as and David Sampson, the old president of the Marlins, who's on the Levitard show. So they had the same tango when A-Rod tried to put a group together to buy the Marlins a few years back. And David Sampson said, man, A-Rod wants to be an owner so badly. He's got everything you could want. He's got the baseball background, the charm. He's got the suits. He's got everything except the money.
Yes, right. That's the problem. Now, I'm anti-A-Rod, okay, because the last time first of all, I've had to listen to him on TV, and he's a moron doing games. But B, the last time I saw him when he was at before the Wolves thing all came up, he was at spring training for a game, and I popped in and said, can I talk to you for 15 minutes? And he said, oh, yeah, sure. I'll come back in 5 minutes. And then he was gone and didn't, you know, he hit out on me. So I'm mad at him. The last time I brought it to talk to him, he stiffed.
Classic.
So, shocked. But, yeah, it's it is interesting how popular these new owners are, even though we haven't seen Lori for a year. And you know, we really don't know what the machinations are, but the former ownership has been covering the tabs and you know, they're making the money with sellouts and everything. So I don't know. I don't know what guys like Ethan. I see they just were named the sports Association of the Year.
They did win an award. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good timing to announce that 5 days ago instead of 2 days ago. Hey, Pat, before we say goodbye, tell the audience where they should be looking for vehicles this spring, huh?
I say Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM dealers. I got some, I was talking to Jim and, you know, we had the, big supply chain issues in the car business. The pandemic, could caused, extreme inventory shortages. And, Jim said it also caused predatory pricing by some dealers. They charged thousands over the manufacturer's suggested retail price. Jim Paul never played that game. The Valley Group of GMC didn't take advantage of the shortage, and they're now have their best inventory they've had in years. They got all the Buick and GMC models in Apple Valley and Hastings. They even have the big boys, the previously hard to find GMC Yukons, the heavy duty pickups, and Hummer EV. I can see you in one of those, Phil, a Hummer.
Oh, yeah.
EV, all electric Hummer, man. There's plenty of deep discounts right now and factory rebates with low interest financing. So Jim tells us it is a great time again to buy cars. We're welcoming back previous customers there, and any new customer that wants to go see them will be taken good care of. Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings or valleycardealers.com. Check out their inventory and go out there and make a deal for a car that will be fair.
Yeah. And cross your fingers on Royce Lewis's quadriceps, I guess.
Yes. And our Gopher hockey survives, gets to the final. Jackson Nelson, Magnolia, Minnesota. And I had to go back and point out that I wrote a column. I was down there seeing him in 2019 and wrote a column about the boy from the prairie, and now he's the hero. So, as we say, I found Caitlin Clark. I found Randy Brewer way back years ago, and now I found Jackson Nelson, even though he did lead the state in scoring when he was a sophomore. I was the first guy to write about Jackson Nelson. So yes,
the unquestioned scouting eye of Patrick Royce.
Say one more thing, though, to Judd. Where did this goal-scoring orgy of his start? He's got like 10 goals in the last five games.
I know.
He's a fifth-year senior, and he can't be stopped.
What's happened to our boy Snuggy? Snuggy struggled to get on the score sheet. I was so high on Snuggy.
That booming shot. I'm not happy. I know. I was going to go over and talk to Snuggy a couple weeks ago, and he wasn't among the players invited to the press conference. So
that would have been a bad loss for Bob, though, so I'm glad Bob won that game.
Yes, I am. So, all right. Good enough. I'm going to go to the New York Post right now.
All right, Pat, enjoy your reading and enjoy your weekend. We'll talk on Monday. Right. There he is, Royce Unchained here on Score North.